Radio.
America has always been stronger when we have not only proclaimed free speech, but when we listened to it.
Rudolph Radio.
That's with you every night.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Listens to radio, no matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall.
You've been listening to KIPM's Voyage of the Illuminati with Alan Maxwell.
This is Undercover Radio, pirate radio broadcasting from the middle of nowhere.
I'm the Supreme Commander of the Rodent Revolution, Commander Bunny.
Oh, who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
There's no law. There's no. Why can't I do pirate radio again? I mean, why can't I just turn on transmitters when I want?
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
It's time for the Pirates Week, June 25th, 2006.
Almost live from the Fooking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Well, I am Ragnar Danisjold, and this is the Pirates Week podcast, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate community. We take a look into the past week's pirate radio activity, what's going on over at the Free Radio Network and a couple other message boards, general free radio and DXing news, the propagation forecast, throwing a little pod-safe music in the background, and I call it the Pirates Week. It really comes down to whatever I've been doing in pirate radio hobby over the last week. Well, I do have a couple announcements before we get into a show, and it's going to be a good one. I got a lot of good material to throw at you in the next half hour or so. But I have been forgetting to mention over the last 3 weeks now, and I'm going to remember to do it now because I wrote it down in the show notes. The Pirates Week is now being hosted on 975 Pirate Radio. That's right, www.975pirateradio.com. It's a streaming internet radio station and with a really good mix. I really like the mix. It's a lot of hard rock from the 80s and 70s. It also throws in a bunch of other miscellaneous stuff, such as the Hour of Slack, Lumpy Gravy, the Real Pirate Radio, a bunch of good stuff in there, and they're now putting on the Pirates Week into their stream, and I really appreciate that. That is a really good station, and I really do like the mix. Unfortunately, I like to listen to it at work, but the internet Nazis at work have blocked their IP, so I can no longer listen at work, and that kind of, well, that sucks. But do listen to it here at the house. Some great tunage with no commercials, and I enjoy that. So, what else was I going to talk about? There's not a lot of stuff going on. I only got one or two news stories and not a lot of postings. I believe we're in the middle of the summer static crash sessions and not a lot of pirate radio going on, but I really do have a good segment towards the end of the show. It's about 10 minutes long or so. It's from the media geek John Anderson's quarterly review on the FCC enforcement of pirate radio, and be sure to stick around for that because it is really good radio and really relevant to our topic here at the Pirates Week. Another thing I want to talk about, I'm not going to play it here because it's on the Rain Report, and the Rain Report is copyrighted and they don't like to share like I do here at the Pirates Week, and you can use anything, you know, that we talk about, excerpt it out if you want. As long as you attribute it to the Pirates Week, you can go ahead and use it. But the Rain Report does not do that, but they did have a really good show this last time. It was on BPL, and if you're into BPL, it was a talk given at the Dayton Ham Fest by Dick Illman about BPL interference. Head on over there to therainreport.com. That's www.therainreport.com. And listen to their last show. It's the installment about BPL interference, and it's pretty good. A couple other housekeeping things before we get into Pirates in the News. I did notice this morning that Cracker's website is down. And one last thing, my microphone. I don't know if I'm sounding any bit different. I now have a microphone stand, so to speak. I cannibalize some stuff at work and have it hanging with some rubber bands and a swinging arm, and kind of isolated the noise a bit and wrapped it in some other sound deadening material. And let's see if it sounds a little bit better. It does sound a lot better to me in my monitor. Hopefully I have a finally kind of tweaked it out so I sound a little bit better. Well, that's about it. Let's get into Pirates in the News right now.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law, breaking the law.
First up is an announcement from Ground Zero Radio. That's right, Ground Zero Shortwave Pirate Radio has a new show in the can and coming to a shortwave receiver near you. They're going to broadcast some not that yet widely known news regarding pirate stuff. That's right, they got a bunch of stuff that they want to talk about. Oh, and there's going to be a cool contest for all the DXers too, sort of a hide-and-seek kind of thing. Should be really fun, so be listening to that pirate shortwave frequency near you for the next Ground Zero Radio. Should be good. And we have one news story. This is coming from This Week in Amateur Radio. The San Diego office received information at the FCC San Diego office. Received information that an unlicensed broadcast radio station on 106.9 MHz was allegedly operating in the San Diego area. On April 25, 2006, agents from this office confirmed by direction-finding techniques that radio signals on frequency 106.9 was emanating from the property at 1847 Clauber Avenue, San Diego, California. Public records list you as the owner of the property. The commission's records show that no license was issued for operation of broadcast station at this location on 106.9 MHz in San Diego, California. And that's how the FCC notice to Alan M. Conrad and Maria A. Conrad started off. That's right, they had the dreaded letter dated May 10th, 2006 tacked to their front door, so to speak. Let's take a listen to how This Week in Amateur Radio covered this enforcement action.
The FCC's Western Region Enforcement Bureau has issued a notice of unlicensed operation to Alan and Maria Conrad of San Diego. The regulatory agency claims that the pair operated a transmitter on 106.9 MHz without being licensed. April 25th, agents confirmed by direction finding that radio signals on that frequency were emanated from the Conrad's property. The commission's records show that no license was issued for operation of a broadcast station at that location. In its letter to the Conrads, the FCC said that operation of radio transmitting devices without a valid radio station authorization constitutes a violation of federal law, that it could subject the operator to severe penalties, including substantial monetary forfeitures, seizure of the equipment, and criminal sanctions, including imprisonment of the station operator. The Conrads were given 10 days from the date of the notice to respond and provide evidence that they have authority from the FCC to operate the station. The commission says that it will use all relevant material information before it determines if any enforcement action is required to ensure the Conrads comply with FCC rules. This will include any information that they may disclose in their reply.
I will have a link to that FCC notice linked to on my blog, as well as everything else we talk about here today on the Pirates Week. And regarding that FCC notice, Al replies, "It just tells me the FCC will do what the FCC wants to do. They want to harass an unlicensed operator with fines or seizures of the property. It is unfortunate that the federal government makes it virtually impossible for small, non-commercial stations to get on the air." I'll also link to his radio station, www.radioactiveradio.org.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Well, it's time now to take a look at what's going on at the Free Radio Network. They're, of course, at www.frn.net/vines. Starting off with Shortwave Pirate. WQRP is looking for scans of the two micro radio articles from PopCom, February and May 2006. JTA has come to the rescue, and it sounds like he's mailing them to QRP. Brock and Rick post hate for the FCC. On June 15, 2006, Bush signed the Broadcast Decency Enforcement Act of 2005. It raises the maximum fines for broadcast of obscene, indecent, or profane material. It's now up to $325,000 for each violation, to a max of $3 million. Beerus Maximus joins in by stating that it appears to make no distinction between satellite radio licensees and terrestrial licensees, and it also has a provision allowing the FCC to levy fines against individuals who do or say something obscene on the air. So in other words, if someone screws up and says, oh shit, on the air, not only can the licensee get fined, but so can the individual. I.O. Snopes sums it all up by noting that the president's good old New England Puritan background is burning through his thin Texas good old boy veneer. A well put, I.O. Over in the LPFM section of the FRN, the thread about Steve Denifer continues on. Big K notes that Denifer was mentioned negatively in the book 40 Watts from Nowhere. Rockin' Rick sent an email question to Steve some time ago with no reply. In the FRN workshop area, HF Mobile replies to Rockin' Rick's question from last week on a nice, easy design for a directional coupler. HF says the answer depends on the power you want to use, the purpose, and the frequency range. Cheap directional couplers are inside CB or ham radio VSWR meters. Many of these can be used from 1.8 MHz to 180 MHz with good accuracy. Rick goes on to reply that he is really looking to talk to someone who may have constructed one, the directional coupler. He has a ongoing antenna tuning project that this would make a whole lot easier if he could talk to somebody. And that's really all that's going on over at the FRN. There's really nothing going on elsewhere on the DX Programs Forums or Alt Radio Pirate. It's a thin week for posts. And now from the electronic newsletter, the Free Radio Weekly is the recent shortwave pirate radio stations heard. This is from the Free Radio Weekly number 541, dated June 24th, 2006. This last week, stations heard have been MAC Shortwave, the Pirates Week podcast. Well, not me really, it's per the FRN, the Pirates Week was relayed by MAC Shortwave also. And the other station heard this last week was WBNY. And QSLs reported being received this last week have been from the pirate radio stations of Grass Cutter and Laser Hot Hits.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Well, it's time now for a little off-air recording. This recording I made last week, 69:50 a.m., around just past the midnight hour UTC on the 21st. Sounded like somebody testing, about 10 minutes of odd noises and stuff. Some AC/DC was on for a bit, and then into something that sounded like a baseball game. A Spider-Man theme, and then I caught, well, no ID, but there was that wacky laugh that only Paul Starr of MAC Shortwave uses, so I'm attributing this UNID to MAC Shortwave. This is about a minute and a half of what I heard last, well, when was it, the 21st, this last week on 69:50 AM.
Take a look overhead. Spider-Man! The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio?
Well, we don't have any other radio news this week. I do want to play for you the feature of today's podcast, and this is coming from the media geek, Paul Riesmandel. Great podcast, by the way. This week he was interviewing John Anderson. You know John Anderson from DIY Media and also Media Minutes. It's John's quarterly review on FCC enforcement actions on pirate radio. It's about 8.5 minutes long. It's really good, though, and I really hope you enjoy it. I know I did. I really like both John and Paul. Both great shows. Let's get right into the Media Geeks interview with John Anderson.
And this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media. In the studio with me is John Anderson of DIYmedia.net, also the man behind the mask at Media Minutes. And you've done one of your like quarterly reviews of how the FCC is cracking down on unlicensed broadcasting.
Yes.
So what's going on?
Well, it looks very severe. It looks very dangerous out there to be a pirate in America.
On the surface.
On the surface. If you keep track of the FCC's enforcement by actually counting the number of actions they do, the number of letters they send out to pirates warning them that they could get busted, the number of visits they make to stations to intimidate them off the air, those kinds of things, if you look at those numbers of instances happening, you see that there's a lot of activity. In fact, there have been almost as many enforcement actions in the first half of 2006 as there was in all of 2005, and 2005 was a record-breaking year. We're talking like 120, 130 enforcement actions so far, and those are letters, warning letters, and visits to stations, things like letters that potentially may warn people that they're going to get fined, forfeiture notices, and things like that. And it also includes the typical stuff you think of when you think of pirate busts, like station raids and stuff like that. But it is really not as dangerous as it seems, because I think the FCC knows that there's people out there now watching what they do, and if there's anything that the current administration is pretty good at, it's fudging the numbers, and they're conducting enforcement patterns in such a way as to inflate the counts that I keep, but they don't really reflect an increased amount of enforcement, I think, across the board. For example...
So you mean more stations aren't getting hit?
Well, more stations, I think, are getting hit, but I think that's a reflection of the fact that there are just more stations out there than ever before. So
more drug arrests means, to some extent, more people are doing drugs.
Exactly. And also, since it is the post-LPFM period, there has been a concerted effort made by, the broadcast industry to track pirates and complain about them, because the FCC stated enforcement protocol starts with a complaint. So if there is no complaint, there's typically no enforcement. So anyway, they are hitting more stations, I think, partially because that is that there are more stations out there to hit. However, the number of enforcement actions would make you think that they're hitting even more stations than that, because what they're doing is they're doing repeat things. Like, for example, whereas in the past, where the FCC would send one warning letter to one person or to one address, now they're sending out four warning letters, and I count those each as one thing because they're going to different people. So, like, they identify four people with the station and hit them all with warning letters, or they make multiple visits. They're not necessarily hitting more stations in that way. They're not necessarily even being, more severe with the punishments they're meting out against these stations. They're just producing more paperwork.
So what are the punishments that are being meted out? I mean...
Warnings. Pretty much warnings. There have been no...
So stop it.
Stop it. We're going to show up at your house. We're going to walk around with our little box with the antenna, and we're going to show you our badges and try to get you to and let us inspect your gear, but that's pretty much it. There have been no forfeitures. There have been a very small few number of what they call notices of apparent liabilities, which is the step right before the actual forfeiture notice is handed over.
And a forfeiture notice is a fine.
It's a fine. It's usually $10,000. The notice of apparent liability is the step before that, where they say, if you don't stop it or give us a reason why we shouldn't do this, we're going to fine you. And it's pretty much as good as a fine, but it's not. None of those have really been out there. In fact, there was a station which the FCC went through this whole process with last year, multiple visits, warning letters, and then it culminated with a $10,000 notice of apparent liability. Typically, that knocks a station off the air. A lot of people are just get scared by
they
that
close
point
up at
and
that
say,
point.
I'm done. Mm-hmm. But the station in New York continued. And so what did the FCC do in the new calendar year? They started over. They visited
like a
couple times. They send out a warning letter. The warning letter doesn't reference the fact that they've already threatened to fine them, you know. They're going through the motions. So I think that there is an effort within the FCC to say, let's look like we're being tough on pirate radio. Let's make that part of our typical police beat. But when it actually comes to doing the things that would require real time, energy, and resources, like issuing forfeitures and collecting them.
Or a raid.
Yeah. FCC is nowhere to be found.
We're not seeing a lot of raids. Like I've noticed that. I mean, in just reading through, I've seen very few where police have been involved and warrants have been obtained.
That's the other part that's skewing the data. If you look at the enforcement database, you'll see that there have been a significant number of raids this year, but most of them are in Florida. In fact, all of them are in Florida.
And that's local authorities.
And that is local authorities who may have the assistance of the FCC, but it's not an FCC case.
And have the right to prosecute because Florida has a state law, which bars pirate radio.
Makes it a felony to broadcast without a license. And so state officials in Florida have started to really act against pirates. They have arrested a couple people. No one yet has been formally convicted under the anti-pirate felony law. So those instances of the FCC kind of doing busy work, and then what the implementation of Florida's anti-pirate statute is skewing the data to make it look like on my own database, like the FCC's going gangbusters, when really, like I like to call them, they're just paper tigers at this point. You know, they're really not doing much of anything except making regular visits and saying hi.
It really sounds like pirate radio is, like I've said before on the air, it's a lot like smoke and pot or speeding. People do get caught.
Or jaywalking.
Yeah, people do get caught. People do get fined. And in Florida, maybe people might go to jail, although pretty much not anywhere else in the country. But it doesn't seem to really stop the activity or curtail it, and it's only a percentage.
No, and I mean, you know, there are still plenty of the old school stations out there. There are stations in San Diego that have bounced back from a raid and are still on the air. Our friends in Bettendorf, Iowa are still on the
air.
They've already had an FCC visit and a warning notice. Our friends in Santa Cruz are still on the air. And of course, down the road in Springfield, we have Mbana Kentaco, who is celebrating his 20th year on the air this year.
With Human Rights Radio.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, the movement is alive and well. The FCC is doing the best it can to make it look like it has muscle, but it really has none.
And it seems like every year it gets easier and easier to get a transmitter.
Yeah. There's the number of places you can buy online from now have proliferated like crazy just in the last year or two. Several of them overseas in the UK specifically. A lot of them are like redistributors of other types of gear, you know, energy kits or mm-hmm. broadcast warehouse. But it's interesting because, yeah, it's easier than ever to
and
actually get
like
a transmitter.
And it seems like because of
now.
Low power FM, there's a proliferation of the type accepted, the FCC approved low power transmitters in the 10, 20, 30 watt range that are getting easier and easier to find on places like eBay.
Right. And the FCC, of course, does make the occasional yearly or, semi-yearly sweep of eBay where they, send a bunch of angry emails out to people saying, if you really sell this, we can fine you $10,000. But, it's there. You really don't have to look that hard for it. And, you can pay in cash, you can do a credit card, however you want to do it, it'll be shipped to your door, and from that point on, it's pretty much plug and play. I don't necessarily advocate that, because people should know the fundamentals of radio broadcasting if they're going to use the airwaves, but yeah, it's really a
There are reasons to do so without a license in some places, and there are reasons to try and do it with a license in places that can get low power FM. There are risks. Know the risks. We're not telling you should do it, but it is an opportunity to take back the media in a situation, in a world where those opportunities are few and far between.
Lots of folks are doing it, and they're having a lot of fun. I'm just saying.
You're just saying. We've talked to many of them on the air here at Media Geek.
Well, we do have a website of the week this week. This week, I got the website from none other than Alan Wiener and Alan Wiener's Worldwide program on WBCQ last Friday night. I was listening to it, and he mentioned offshoreechoes.com. It's a magazine and also a website that is dedicated to pirate ships, offshoreechoes.com. I'll let Alan introduce this publication and this website.
Hey, I miss my offshore radio days. Every month, I get this little publication, and I bet none of you know about this. I'm on, like, you know, the lifetime subscription list because I'm actually one of the people that created the reason for this magazine to exist. And it's called Offshore Echoes Magazine. It's published monthly. It's actually printed in France. And it's printed in French and English. I happen to have the English edition because I can't speak French. I can barely speak English. And I miss my radio days. But you know, man, I miss my offshore radio days. I really do.
You do?
Yeah, and I was talking about this magazine, Offshore Echoes. And by the way, they have a website. So for those of you that are really into this, it's offshoreechoes.com. And that's spelled OFFSHOREECHOS.com. And you can get a subscription to this. What is it? It's £22 per annum. Oh, I guess they only do five issues a year. Let's see, outside Europe, it's £27. I don't know what that would equate to in dollars. It'll be probably about $35 or something like that a year. But I've been getting this magazine for years and years and years. And what they do is they write about all of the various offshore radio stations, you know. And I bring this up because WBCQ, as I said, is a direct descendant of the offshore radio work we did back in the 80s. Yes, the marvelous 80s.
Well, I can't do the website any more justice than Alan, so let's just say Offshore Echoes is the website of the week. Links, of course, will be in the show notes, found on the blog and on the website, www.piratesweek.info. Let's now go into the propagation forecast to wrap up this session of the Pirates Week. From This Week in Amateur Radio comes our propagation forecast.
As we take a look at this week's propagation forecast, we find that one nice thing about the bottom of the solar cycle is disruptive radio blackouts or sudden ionospheric events are very unlikely compared to times when the solar cycle is active. Very low geomagnetic activity is predicted this time around as we look ahead, with the planetary A index forecast around 5. As we go to air, sunspot counts for the past 5 days have been 23, 21, 20, 19, and 0. No substantial increase is predicted. Geophysical Institute Prague predicts quiet conditions for June 23rd, 24th, and 27th, quiet to unsettled on June 25th to 29th, and unsettled on June 26th and 28th.
That's going to wrap up this week's installment of the Pirates Week. I hope you enjoyed it. I do want to thank a couple people that would be, of course, This Week in Amateur Radio and the Media Geek taking stuff from their shows this last week. I take quite a bit from other shows, and I just want to pay homage to them. Some really good shortwave shows. This Week in Amateur Radio is, of course, the granddaddy. It's a bit long. It's about an hour and a half long. A lot of irrelevant information to sort through, but really a whole bunch of stuff there And if you can get through all the length of it, you can find a whole bunch of information. Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, the best all-around show for shortwave and pirate radio. The Media Geek, of course, pre-media reporting at its very best, even though Paul's progressiveness shows through a bit much for me. Media Minutes, Paul's friend and colleague, John Anderson. We also heard a little bit from him earlier in the podcast. He also hosts DIY Media, a really good website. AR Newsline, of course, and the Rain Reports get honorable mentions. A lot of good things there, a little bit more in the ham area of shortwave. Good amateur radio content, but they do have copyright protection that they claim, so they don't let others share their material, so I usually do not put their stuff on the podcast. Well, what else was I going to say before I get out of here? The blog. I changed some colors around on the blog. Some people were stating that it was kind of hard to read with the red and black, so changed up a little bit of the colors. Hope it's a little bit easier on the eyes. I have been downloading some new blog software. I did notice some of the other websites I go to use, like WordPress, and I can't remember the other one, but I'm looking into that. Not really easy to use, or at least not really easy to upload to my server, so I can try to use. Maybe I'll do that a little bit later this afternoon and get a little bit better blog to go as a compendium to this podcast. Of course, you can find links to the blog, the show, and everything else at www.piratesweek.info. Well, that's going to wrap it up this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, and see you next week. As always, thank you for listening.
The Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week. Piratesweek.tripod.com.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.